Thank you. Okay. Excellent. Oh, thank you for that. All of that. That was beautiful. Robert, what you said just now was concise and clear, and I understood every word of it, and I can't tell you how wonderful it feels to understand every word of somebody giving announcements like that. That is a wonderful gift. Don't take it for granted. Maybe that's the lesson. I don't know. This is the lesson. It's up here in Albanian. I apologize for that, but I don't apologize for anything. I told myself I'd never apologize for anything I'm going to say. You taught me that, because I always stand in front of you, and I always apologize. I apologize for nothing. But I am being asked to do something that I feel I'm unable to do, but I'm going to do it. I bring greetings from the Church of Christ in Berat, Albania. This is what it usually looks like on a Sunday morning when I teach them. I was holding the camera above my head, so I'm not actually that tall, but this is the group of people. I can focus in on the picture on the back wall there, and I can imagine myself standing there, and it's surreal to then look down and see you. I usually have a wonderful sister named Anila standing off to the side, translating what I say. We work together as a team, as I teach. I usually am teaching very simple lessons to them from the Bible. They are a young congregation of older people, but they have wonderful, wonderful hearts. They know about you very well. They love you so much. They're so appreciative of you and what you have done. I don't entirely get it, namely sending me to speak to them. That was a work of you and God working through you, which then allows me to teach them. And they are very appreciative of that. I was speaking to our brother Mastan, who is there about four rows back on the right. He was baptized about a year ago, and he texted me as I left, and he said, "You're going to be gone for a month, and I hope you enjoy that time with your family, and you are encouraged, but I know that will go very quickly for you, but for us, it will feel like a long time." And then he told me the traditional Albanian wish or greeting that you close off when somebody goes on a journey. He said, "Rug tambar." And rug tambar means complete the path. And so, when the path leads me here, whether I feel like I can do what I'm about to do or not, I will complete the path. So let's go on this path together. Here is what it usually looks like from the back of the room. It's not a very big space, but we fill it, and we fill it with singing that would rattle your bones as it echoes out from that back door, that front door actually, in the edge of the picture, and it echoes through the apartment complexes all down the street, and people come to find out what is happening in this room. And then they get excited about it, and they say it's something they have never seen before. So, let's talk about it. Here's some of the Christians from there. But I want to start by talking to you about what does it mean? How do you take the gospel? How do you take the message of the Bible and simplify it down to talk to somebody who hasn't experienced anything before? The concept of Genesis and the creation of earth is new to them. Noah and the histories of Genesis is new to them. The law and Moses and the power of God is new to them. The prophets could mean anything to them. And Jesus is a name that they've maybe heard, and they just know that they're not allowed to have spoken about it in their youth. And now they want to know. How do you present that? So I've been trying to simplify lessons. I feel like sometimes I'm teaching to second, third graders in these very simple Bible lessons, and I found that as you go simple to, and you know this, as you go simple, you hit deep, deep truths that then go deep into you. What are If you go to the Gospels, our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what are the moments in Jesus' life, what are the things that are talked about, that are talked about in every single one of the Gospels? Do you know? You're educated, you're experienced. Think it through. Let's see. If my slide will go. Events talked about in all four of the Gospels, what are they? Do you know? His birth is not talked about in Mark. That was good. Three out of four of them, the birth of Jesus. Mark just skips right over the birth of Jesus. Let's just take the birth of Jesus as this thing that's for granted. And he starts at the baptism of Jesus, which is then talked about in the other three Gospels. The baptism of Jesus. And then you have all these events and these things that Jesus taught, and sometimes there's parallels and there's situations that are the same or seem similar. And then you get to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And here's where they all coincide again. And you have Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And you have all the moments leading up to his crucifixion, the passion, as you wish. And those moments of the supper in the garden and the betrayal and his judgment before Pilate and the cross. It's consistent. And then they all speak about the resurrection. And then there is one thing that all four mention. We skipped over it up there. In between his baptism and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. What is it? What is it that all four Gospels, the feeding of 5,000 people on a hillside. The feeding of 5,000 people on a hillside. This moment where Jesus and his disciples are there and he's teaching. We'll read it in a moment, actually. All four Gospels pay attention to it. And not only do all four Gospels speak on this, but two of them, so now you have six instances of this, tell about Jesus then feeding 4,000 people on a very similar hillside, not very long after that, almost using the exact same words, a replication of the same moment again that Jesus did. And they said, this is important enough, we will write both of these. John only speaks about the feeding of 5,000, but John will tell you at the end of his book, man, there is so much about Jesus that I wish I could tell you. I want to tell you all about it. We would not have enough ink, we would not have enough paper, it would just fill the world if I tried to tell you all about Jesus. But let me tell you about him feeding 5,000 people, and let's make sure that you listen to this moment and you see it. And in case you didn't see it clearly enough, he also tells about the feeding of 4,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus. They reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Get some rest. They went away by themselves, and they went in a boat to a solitary place. But many who were who saw them leaving, they recognized them, and they ran on foot all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. And Jesus landed. He saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep. They didn't have a shepherd. He began teaching them many things. And by this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. They're concerned. And they said, this is a remote place, Jesus. It's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat. And he answered and he said, you give them something to eat. And they said, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we supposed to go spend that much on bread so that we can give it to them to eat? Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And so they found out, and they said, five. Five loaves of bread, Jesus. That's what we have. Five loaves of bread. We also have two fish, in case you're interested in that, right? And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups in the green grass. And they sat down in groups of 100, in groups of 50, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks, he broke the loaves, he gave them to his disciples, he distributed to the people, he also divided the two fish among them all, right? And they all ate, and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up From that moment, they picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Does it impact you? Are you listening to it? Do you see it happening? Do you see, one, Jesus looking out at this group of 5,000 people on the hillside who come to him looking for something physical? They are literally hungry, and they're wanting him to give him food. And he has compassion on them. And his compassion on them turns into action that he then enacts. But his disciples are seeing the people and the hunger, and they're looking at what they have, which is possibly the bread that they brought that they themselves were going to eat. Maybe it would feed 12. What are we supposed to do, Jesus? How much bread do you have? Feed the people. This bread is to sustain us through today. Tomorrow, we'll buy more bread. This bread, we just read it in the prayer. This bread is our daily bread. This is the daily bread that we follow Jesus. We have faith in God. We ask God, give us our daily bread. He gave us our daily bread. What are we supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do? And Jesus says, turn around, look at this mountainside full of people. And I want you to start breaking up that bread and feed them. Directly after this, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, and while he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up onto a mountainside to pray. And later that night, the boat, with his disciples in it, was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. And he saw the disciples, and they were straining at the oars because of the wind that was against them. And shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the water, and he was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out. They saw him, and they were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them, and he said, "Take courage, it's I, it's me, it's Jesus, don't be afraid." And then he climbed onto the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. They were completely amazed. They were shocked and confused. Jesus walking on water. And why were they completely amazed? Why were they completely confused at Jesus walking on water? Because they had not, this is Mark writing, they had not understood about the loaves. What does this have to do with Jesus walking on water? I would understand it the other way. I would understand they didn't understand the loaves because they didn't understand Jesus walking on water. Like the power of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the creator in human form walking on water, calming the storm. They did not understand that because they had not comprehended the lesson of the loaves. I said I'm going to come up here and I'm going to do something that I'm not able to do, but I'm going to do it. The disciples didn't understand the lesson of the loaves. I see this. I see Jesus walking on water, and I see them after the fact looking back and saying, "Oh, we were amazed at this, but that's because we didn't get the loaves." And I stand here and I say, "I don't get the loaves. I don't understand the loaves. Explain to me the lesson of the loaves." And instead, we just continue into this further. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, "I have compassion for these people." Again, the word, compassion for these people. "They have already been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way. Some of them have come a long distance." And his disciples answers, "But where in this remote place can we get enough bread to feed them?" And Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. And so he told the crowds to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, he broke them, and he gave them to his disciples, he distributed them to the people, and they did so. They also had some few small fish or something as well, right? And he gave them thanks for them, And he told the disciples to distribute him to all the people. And the people ate and they were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. And about 4,000 were present. This is the same writer, in sequence, trying to get us to pay attention to the lesson of the loaves. I tried to pay attention to the lesson of the loaves. As an engineer coming into this, I try to picture this group of people. I now see 2 data points. This makes sense, Mark. You gave us a data point, loaves, fish, people, baskets. I can make an equation and come up with 5 loaves plus 2 fish equals 4,000 people and 12 baskets. That is a single data point, and I can extrapolate some things. But if you tell me now that there's 7 loaves and a couple of small fish, and that equals 4,000 people, and then I can have 7 baskets, now I can extrapolate absolutely nothing, because the numbers mean nothing. They make no sense. And I think we're being told this because the numbers make no sense. The numbers make no sense. The number of loaves, you have 5 loaves, feed the people. You have 7 loaves, feed the people. You have a couple of fish with you, good. Share it with the people. What are you going to take afterwards? An impossible number of baskets of leftovers. Why are you even counting the baskets of leftovers? Other than to show that it was impossible for you, the disciples, to do what you just did, and that God has done abundantly beyond what was possible through that. Beyond. 12 baskets of leftovers. 7 baskets of leftovers. But what is Jesus trying to tell us? I have so much to say. I will go through this. This continues our story. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, right? They leave from there. They forgot to bring bread. They just gave it all away. Let's have some mercy on these people. But they had forgotten to bring bread except for 1 loaf that they had with them in the boat. And Jesus says, be careful. Jesus warns them, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And they discussed with one another and they said, is it because we have no bread? And aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and your ears fail to hear? Don't you remember? Do you not remember when I broke 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basket pieces did you pick up? And they told him, they remembered 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? And they said, 7. But Jesus, we don't have bread. We have 1 loaf of bread. Why are you not paying attention to the fact that we only have 1 loaf of bread? And you're telling us, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. It's not about bread. It's not about bread. Andrea gave me permission to do this thing that I've been harnessed, muzzled for so many years in Albania. I can't speak in metaphor. It's just too difficult with a language barrier. She gave me permission to speak in metaphor. It's not about bread, but the bread. What is the bread? What is the bread? What is your bread? What is your daily bread? What is the bread that you feel if you do not have this thing, you are not going to live through the rest of the day? What is the bread? What is the bread that you are going to need tomorrow? What is the bread that you are desperate to have? What is it that you are needing? And then be confronted by Jesus as he says, I want you to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you still not understand? How is it that you don't understand? Matthew records in the same conversation. How is it that you do not understand? I was not talking to you about bread. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The yeast. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The yeast, the Maya, that the Albanians would call it. The same, this tiny substance that they put into bread that then grows and makes their bread rise, which is the same word they use for a mountain peak that they climb to. This thing that is able to inflate and grow and complicate whatever you put it into. This doctrine of the Pharisees. The doctrine of the Pharisees. A doctrine which is, this is just me speaking. The doctrine which is a teaching. Doctrine or teaching, sometimes we translate those the same. Doctrine, teaching, but it's more than just a teaching. It's a teaching that gets into your head and into your heart, which then transforms how you behave in the world, how you interact with the world. This doctrine, a rule system, if you will. Here's a picture of us. I'm not in it. I'm taking the picture. But this is some of our brothers outside of the Church of Christ in Perot playing dominoes peacefully at this moment. I kind of hate dominoes, but they all love dominoes, and they have different doctrines of dominoes that they play with, the Tirana rules or Barat rules, and whether or not you pick up tiles at a certain time or not. Oh man, just there's one rule for dominoes for me. It's to get it over with as quickly as possible and hopefully not win. Man, because you could lose a brother over winning a game of dominoes. I see men come into church and they're not talking, and I have to say, Jimmy, did they play dominoes? And he's like, yes. They'll be friends again next week. Doctrines which get into our head and they transform the way that we play the game. The doctrine of the Pharisees, which tells us the Pharisees who lived and said, everything is about you. Everything is about you getting what you need. God is just a way of getting what you want. The Hophni and Phinehas with the Ark of the Covenant, taking it into war. We will be able to win if God, the power of God, if we can harness it like a spear in our hands. It is all about you and how you can get what you want. The doctrine and these rules, it says the gain is for you, the goal is for you to gain as much honor for yourself as possible. And so we present ourselves in a certain way. This is the rules of the world, and they will get into our head, and they will get into our heart, and they will not shake out. They will become hard there. Bread alone is not enough for you. And the Pharisees will tell you, you need more than bread. Why are you satisfied with just daily bread? Why are you praying a prayer of Jesus asked for daily bread? You should be asking for more, abundantly more beyond that. You need more. And you need more because you need more bread in order to serve God. You can't serve God with what you have right now. You have to have more than that. And if once you reach that point, then you can serve. And if you don't have that, step aside. While the professionals act, the people with bread. Because your bread is not enough for God to use. This is the doctrine of the Pharisees. You do not have enough bread for 5,000 people on a hillside. And God loves your neighbor more than he loves you, because you look across the fence and you see he has more bread. And I'm not talking about bread. I want this to be a physical thing, because you start physical. You start physical, and physical gets inside of our heart. But this is mental. Do I have the education? Do I have the experience? Do I have the emotional capacity to face 5,000 people on a hillside? Do I have the spiritual discipline and experience in the Word to confidently be able to share what I have? Maybe when I have that, Jesus, I'll go walking through these groups of 150 sitting on a hillside with a loaf of bread and start giving it to them so that they can be filled. Show me that. The doctrine of the Pharisees. The lesson of the loaves goes directly against the doctrine of the Pharisees. And the doctrine of Jesus goes directly against that. Everything is for God. The goal is for you to give honor to God, not yourself. All you need to serve God is bread, and it's the bread that you've already been given. Whatever it is that you have right now is the bread that you're looking in your bag and you're saying, this is not enough. This is not enough. And Jesus says, I know you think it's not enough. Now go and do it. Have compassion on the people and act. That is the doctrine of Jesus. You already have all the bread that you need to serve God. And God can do miracles with your bread. This was in one of the Gospels, a challenge to Philip directly, a lesson directly to Philip, to show him, a test to show him. And the test resulted in, Philip, take your bread, share it with the people, and see what happens. And he stepped away from that, having learned a lesson. Take it as a test. Take your little bread. Accept the challenge to give away your daily bread and see what comes back to you. Because what you will see come back to you will be baskets and baskets and baskets and baskets of leftovers. God loves you abundantly beyond your measure of bread. He loves you abundantly beyond. He has given you bread with a purpose. He knows full well why he has given you what he has given you, what he has given you, and what he wants you to do with it, who he wants you to feed. Feed the people. In Albania, the word for bread, I love this, is buk. Buk. But their word for beautiful is also bread. Ibukur. Ibukur. If somebody is wearing a dress, you say, that is a beautiful dress. It is ibukur. And you're saying, that dress, oh, it's like bread. It's like bread. My wife is shumbukur. Very bread-like. Very bread-like. The most bread-like woman that I have ever seen on this planet. I went to a coffee shop the other day and I bought something that cost way too much, a little Danish piece of bread. And as we were buying it, we told them, this is difficult for us. We've been living in Albania. I don't know what coffee is like in America. I don't know how to order it anymore. And they said, oh, wow, you live in Europe. Congratulations. And that felt very strange. Because I could not buy what I bought at that coffee shop there in Albania. Coffee or the bread. The bread in Albania, they love bread. Bread is beautiful. Bread is simple. Bread is the most basic element of life, and that is beautiful. That is what you need. That's all you need. And Jesus says, take that. That's what you will share. This is us visiting your brother Zulfo here, a wonderful evangelist in the church in Barat. Everybody comes because they've met up with Zulfo and they want to know where Zulfo is. And we've gone to his home and he invited us in and we broke bread together. It was very simple. And I thought about the church in Acts. The very first thing that the church does together as the church, they go to each other's homes and they break bread. They broke bread and they ate it with gladness and sincere hearts. And they did this individually with bread, and they did this in families with bread, and as a community with bread. And it grew from that moment of them sharing a simple loaf of bread with each other. It grew to the nation, and it grew to other nations, and then it grew to the world. The baskets of bread left over from that first moment of the church in Acts chapter 2, getting together and sharing bread, has filled the world to the point where we're living in the basket. Now, of the leftovers from that bread. That is our daily bread. This is what we are receiving. They found him on the other side of the lake. They asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, well, what must he do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, what must we do to do the works that God requires? The work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. The simplest bread. And they asked him, what sign will you then give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, the most basic of bread. The people that wanted in the wilderness to go back to Egypt, we had delicacies, we had wonderful food. No, you will eat bread that you don't even know is bread. You will call it manna. What even is this? As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Because the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Not even knowing what they're asking. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will not go hungry, ever. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. True bread. This is the work of God. Believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus, trusting Jesus, trusting when he says, look, there's a room full of hungry people. You look in your bag and you say, I have this, and then you feed the people. It's the same thing he asked Peter to do after Peter came back, after not recognizing the lesson of the loaves for himself, sitting around a fire, denying Jesus three times. He returns to Jesus, and then Jesus three times says to him, do you love me? Then what are you going to do? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You love me? This is the work that you're going to do. You're going to, Peter, you're going to look at what I've given you, and you're going to take it out and take it away from you, and you're going to feed the people. Feed my sheep. I want to close by reading you this from Proverbs. It's a little chopped off, but it's okay. Two things, this is a prayer, two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much, and I will disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Right, Andrea? This is something of a reminder for our family. We live in a place that is difficult for us, but it's difficult for us because we come from a place like this. We come from the dream of the universe, America. What you have in this room, the abundance of bread, be it physical, mental, education, spiritual experience, your emotional integrity, the fact that I can speak to you knowing that most of you are literate. You have it. You have it, you have it, you have it, you have it in such abundance. You give it in abundance too. But the challenge of God is to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't let it get into your heart. Give abundantly. I want to thank you for allowing me the honor to be here in front of you, to share with you, to be sent by you. I want to thank you so much for what you give, not just physically. My physical support comes from a higher source, but the honor of so much of it coming through you, I do not take lightly. This is a abundant gift, but the gift that you give to us in spiritual support, emotional support, the education and foundation in our family, with the teachings that I received here in this room, with the teachings and the foundation of faith that I learned from you, that are now being shared in Albania, and that are then being shared by those people to others, and are being shared to others as it continues. The bread that you have shared, which is then filling baskets of leftovers, and to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand here in front of you, and I want to call you to the same thing that my brother Mastan told me. I want to call you to complete the path. And wherever that path goes, and no matter how impossible it seems, and no matter how little you have to bring to it, complete the path, and God will do amazing things through you. If anybody here has something that they wish to make known, any prayers that they wish, any support that they want, any bread that they need, you can come and ask for it from this body, and it will be given to you. Don't hesitate. If anybody here wants to come in contact with the true bread, the bread of life, in baptism, this baptistry is full of water, right? Isn't it? That's amazing to me. It takes us like 2 days. It is ready now. You can come forward and be baptized now. Don't take that for granted. But please come.